Hey, everybody, welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, where we do our best to help leaders go further, faster. I'm Andy, and I am so excited about this month's episode because it's all about leadership by the numbers, Enneagram numbers. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, please go back and listen to last month's podcast, and we will wait right here. Just kidding. Okay, but you do need to go back. You do need to go back and listen. Once again, I have two extraordinary people in the studio with me, Ian Cron, the author of The Road Back to You, An Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. And I'm guessing, guys, that between last month and this month, a whole bunch of our podcast listeners got the book and read the book, and they are so anxious to hear the second part of this conversation, The Road Back to You. It actually is the book that introduced the Enneagram to its broadest audience. And also today, my daughter Allie Stanley is back in the studio with me, and she is the one that introduced the Enneagram to me and to our whole family. So, hey, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be here. Yeah.
Good to be here indeed.
Ian is a best-selling author, a podcast host, a psychotherapist, an Episcopal priest. I told him he's the first priest we've had in the studio. And, of course, he's an Enneagram teacher. Allie's a 23-year-old Auburn graduate, War Eagle, currently working on a master's degree and works for us part-time as a content developer. Now, Ian, a few of our listeners were not able to go back and listen to the previous episode because they're driving and they want to be hands-free. So would you please do your best to kind of catch us up? What is the Enneagram? Maybe a little bit of where did it come from? And why is this important for leaders? Because this is a conversation about helping leaders lead better, lead their teams better, and really put teams together in such a way that they're more productive.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, so the Enneagram is a personality typing system that teaches there are nine basic personality types in the world, one of which we gravitate toward and adopt in childhood as a way to cope and feel safe and to navigate the world of relationships. Now, each type has a different way of seeing the world and an unconscious motivation that powerfully influences the way that type thinks, acts, and feels on a regular basis. So the Enneagram helps leaders understand who they are, the lens through which they see the world. It familiarizes them with their habitual and predictable patterns of thinking, feeling, and acting, both the good ones and the not so good ones. How their personality impacts other people, what motivates them, what are their drivers, and what their blind spots are. So I always direct leaders back to that famous quote of Aristotle: the beginning of wisdom, or we could say self-improvement, is self-knowledge. And that's the big gift of the Enneagram, self-knowledge.
My big takeaway in our previous conversation is that each of these is normal for the person who is each of these. So there are, the way you said it, I love this, there are nine normals.
Right.
And the reason I think that's so important for me as a leader is as I look around my leadership team or my management team, and as I recognize the numbers associated with each of these team members, their peculiarities are normal. That's normal. And for me to treat them or to respond to them as if, hey, there's something wrong with you, or why don't you step up? Why don't you speak up? Why do you speak up so often? Why can't you be more like my normal is a mistake.
Oh.
It's terrible leadership, and knowledge is powerful. And I think this particular paradigm as a leader gives me extraordinary power in the proper way to leverage and to get the best out of the people around me as I want them to get the best out of me.
Right.
So this is an incredible leadership tool, not just a personality diagnostic tool. So last month, you took the nine types and you divided them into three sections of three triads. And so in this episode, we're going to talk about number two and number three triad. But if you would review the first one and kind of give us a context for these triads, and then we'll jump in.
Sure. Okay, so by way of context, you're correct. The nine numbers of the Enneagram are divided into three triads. Each of the three types in each triad is driven in different ways by an emotion related to a part of the body, namely the head, the heart, and the gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, people in the gut triad, who we spoke about last time, those are eights, nines, and ones.
Eights, nines, and ones.
Eights the challengers, nines the peacemakers, ones the perfectionists, right? So these are gut instinct people, man. They and for them, anger is simmering usually just right below the surface for them, right? Now, twos, threes, and fours, who I think we're going to probably talk about today, these are people in the heart triad. These are feeling-oriented people, right? They're the most interpersonal numbers on the Enneagram as well. And for them, shame tends to be lurking somewhere in the background, okay? And then five, six, and seven, right? We're going to talk a little bit about them later, I'm guessing. That's in the head triad. And these are people who really greet the world from their mental center, right? From the mind. And for them, fear is right beneath the surface of the
That's
skin.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So last time we talked about the gut triad, the 8, 9, and 1. Let's talk a little bit about the heart triad.
Right. So.
And I like the way you went, yeah.
The heart.
Went right along with it, didn't
you? Oh, the heart triad, yeah.
So and these are the...
Yeah, so these three numbers, twos, threes, and fours, are the most image-conscious numbers on the Enneagram. These are feeling-oriented, highly interpersonal people, and fantastic human beings when they're living in self-awareness and in their best expressions. Type twos are called the helpers. These folks they're like super warm, they're caring, very giving, and they're motivated by a need to be needed and to be loved, okay? Type threes, these are the people who've memorized David Allen's book, Getting Things Done. You know what I mean? These are the performers, the achievers they're called. They're success-oriented, image-conscious. They're just wired for productivity. They're motivated by a need to succeed or to appear successful and to avoid failure at all costs. Okay. Fours are called the romantics, sometimes the individualists, sometimes I call them the unicorns of the Enneagram because we think there are fewer fours than any other type in the population.
Fewer fours.
Fewer fours, yeah. These are creative, very sensitive, sometimes temperamental people, disproportionate number in the world of the creative arts people who are fours, motivated by a need to be unique and special to compensate for what they perceive is something that's missing in their essential makeup as human beings.
Okay, so when it comes to the heart triad, for someone like me, I'm a one.
Right.
And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, which means in an organizational context, sometimes I don't have a lot of patience, especially for people who emote.
Right.
Because we got to get things done.
That's right. Right. You
and guys not don't only stop. Do we have to get things done, how do we need to get them done? Perfectly, right?
Yep.
And I see the negative. I don't. I hate that about myself, but I just see the negative. I see the problems. So how does someone like me, a one or maybe even an eight, how do we lead, let's say, a two?
Great question. So twos are called the helpers. These are people who have an unconscious motivation, which is a need to be needed, to be loved by others and deeply appreciated. It's a big deal for them. So what you should do as a leader is leverage a two's highly developed interpersonal skills by placing them in positions where there is a lot of customer contact.
Mm.
These are like the best customer support people.
Because they're dialed in immediately.
They love people.
My gosh.
Yeah.
They are so highly attuned to the needs of other people. Like I laugh and I tell people all the time, like twos know what you feel and need before you do. And they just legitimately want to help. That is their superpower, is figuring out what do you need, how can I help?
So knowing that about a person on our team, and again, it's putting the right person on the right seat of the bus, you know, to use Jim Collins' analogy.
Right.
And to have that person in a high conflict capacity or a high conflict role would be horrible for them, I would think, right?
It would be difficult.
Be difficult.
Yeah, that would definitely be difficult.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing about twos, too. It might be helpful. They are the number on the Enneagram that most struggles with criticism.
So this is important because as a one who's a bit of a perfectionist, without meaning to, I could crush a two by simply saying to them what I would want someone to say to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, just not as emotionally dialed in.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Allie, you're a three.
I'm a three.
So
I'm a three, so I'm very go, 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 get things done. So how would you suggest someone lead someone who just wants to just keep working all the time? I mean, it can be a good thing, but it's definitely a double-edged sword and can be a bad thing for sure.
Sure. Yeah, you guys are naturally wired for productivity. So what I would say is because you all want to win, like winning is a big deal
it's
to threes.
It's a big deal. She, I mean, she wants to be like,
if I'm not good, I don't play.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I tell a quick story about that?
Yeah, please.
So she accidentally, I didn't ask you for permission, but you know, I'm the pastor.
You're the pastor.
My kids are my best illustrations.
Oh, yes. Yes, so, we are.
So she accidentally, of course, not too long ago, backed into someone in a parking lot.
Oh, yeah.
And she called me to tell me about this. And this is what she said. And correct me if I don't get this right. Her goal was to, by the end of this interaction, for the girl she backed into and damaged her car, she wanted this girl to like her. This was the win. So at the end of this episode, Allie reports back that she never really got the girl to like her, but she feels like she won the police officer over. Is that like a three?
No,
like,
that's very three wing two. That's my wing two coming out for sure.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm going to win him over.
This
I'm
is a competition. I need, yes, I backed into your car. I'm sorry, but like, why don't you want to be my friend? Like, I don't understand.
Right. Well, I mean, just the word goal is a huge word, right, for threes. I mean, they, goals, tasks, to-do
so
lists.
So give them goals and tasks.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So because they want to win, and to lead them well, what you want to do is you want to set clear performance targets. You want to have success measurements. You want to offer rewards and bonuses and promotions for good work, right? For good work,
work
and performance for perfect work. That's right. But you've got to be careful with threes. And so this is, you know, every type has its dark side, right? So because they want to win and cross the finish line first, sometimes a three will be willing to cut corners, right, which can hurt quality. Right, which will drive a one crazy. So when threes and ones work together, like when I'm working with a team, the one might say to me, "Well, boy, he or she just wants to get the job done, but they're, you know, they didn't do this right or that right or that right, or they didn't follow this protocol or this, you know." Mm-hmm. And the three's like, "Well, you know, rule schmools, and we got it done.
We won."
But you see how when you know that about each other, you can call out the best in each other and hold each other accountable to standards that are really in the best interest of the whole organization.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So what would you say about leading a more creative, a little bit less structured four on a team?
Because you're a four, correct?
I am a four.
Yeah. Yes. So what's the best way to lead you, Ian?
Yeah.
Without frustrating you. Because you've got this artistic bent. Yeah. I mean, you're less structured.
Can't put you in a box.
You'd probably like to get up late. Stay up late. I don't know. Is that true?
Stereotypes.
Well, listen, the fours are called the romantics, and they have an unconscious need to be special and unique in order to compensate for what they perceive as a missing piece in their essential makeup, okay? Now, that may sound very psychobabbly and woo-woo, as my wife likes to say. But here's the deal. Out of that kind of a worldview can emerge, you know, great writing or poetry or music.
It's where it all emerges from, right?
That's right. Yeah. It totally does. Now, and there are four companies out there. You know, we shouldn't fool ourselves, right? Like sometimes people think, oh, these people don't live in the corporate world. Well, then I would encourage you to go to Herman Miller. I'd encourage you to go to Tiffany's. I'd encourage you to go to Ritz-Carlton, where aesthetic sensibilities are held to a high value, right? So these are imaginative, creative, temperamental people. You need to let them express their creativity, their depths, their aesthetic sensibilities, their distinct style. What's really important for fours is that they know that you understand and respect their unique perspective and special contribution to the team. But here's the key for fours. You need to encourage them to balance that emotional depth with more critical thinking. More critical thinking.
You try to help them develop critical thinking or appreciate the critical thinking from the outside.
Both. I want them to bring the depth of feeling and emotion that they can bring to the table of life. Right? Mm-hmm. It's an amazing gift. But I also want them to temper it and have available to them the gift of critical thinking. So, again, what we're always trying to do with each other, I think this is a great thing about knowing each other's types, is we can correct each other's excesses. When you get too perfectionistic, I can very gently call you back. And if we both know the Enneagram, by the way, you have already self-identified as a one. We're not arguing about whether or not you're a perfectionist.
When you point out, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know I can be that way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that vernacular, just the common
language.
You
put language around these ideas.
Oh, my gosh. So when we talk about companies and organizations and leaders, leaders will say to me sometimes, what does this got to do with the bottom line? I go, where are all your inefficiencies? It's in the people realm. Your inefficiencies are relationships 100%. Between people.
Yep.
So I can right now, in the next 2 days, or even in the course of one day, I'm going to describe to you nine different types of people. And if you're a good student, you listen to me. and you know, I can say this because I didn't come up with the Enneagram. I just gave it a different voice and presentation in the culture. But I promise you that I will cut back so many inefficiencies and so many misunderstandings. I'll get rid of so much conflict. I will get rid of toxic culture stuff going on because people don't understand each other. We can eliminate loneliness in the workplace because people will feel understood.
Wow.
People will feel like their leader is looking at them and sees the gift that they bring, and they'll appreciate the difference that, you know. So, I mean, it just has a wide range of applications and benefits for organizations and teams.
And for the person that's new to this, it sounds complicated at first because there's nine categories rather than four. But it is a language that is easy to learn and easy to speak.
Yeah.
Especially,
yeah.
again, if you introduce it to the team, read the book as a team.
Right.
And again, just – and it's not stereotyping. It's understanding. And even in our family dynamic, it's been so powerful.
Mm.
So that brings us to the third triad. So we've done the gut. We've done the heart. And so this is the head triad.
Right.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So people in the head triad take in and they relate to the world through the mind.
And these are the five, sixes, and sevens, right?
Fives are called the investigators.
Mm-hmm.
Sixes are called the loyalists. Sevens are called the enthusiasts.
Gotcha.
Okay, and we'll go through, I guess, each one in some way or another. But these people tend to think, and they're big planners, right? So they think and plan carefully before they act.
So before I took the test, I thought I was a five, that I was a head person because I just like to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think after taking the test, I'm definitely a one. So how do you lead a five? How do you lead the person who's a bit introverted? They're all about learning, but you got to get things done. And you can't frustrate them by pushing them too hard. How do you lead a five? How do you lead the head person?
Sure. Fives are called the investigators. These folks are the most analytical number on the Enneagram. They're intensely private folks. Don't give out a lot of private information, right? They are people who really have a compulsive need to gather knowledge and information, particularly around niche subjects. And human relationships are a little depleting for fives.
Yep.
You know, so what?
Draining.
So
they're
draining, right? So I'm a four, you're a three, I have all the time in the world for relationships. Like I just, you know, I got a big tank for relationships. But fives have just a smaller tank. And so, and they're watching it all day long. And what they need to do, you know, is kind of retreat. They need a lot of time alone to replenish the relationship tank, you know, and to be ready to go back out into the world.
So they don't want to go on a three-day retreat with the team.
It's going to be tougher on the five than on the two.
We're going to be together. Yeah. We're going to be together all day, and then we're going to stay up and play card games all night.
The two is so excited.
Yeah.
The two planned it.
Yeah, the two planned it. Exactly. Right.
And then we're going to get up early and have breakfast and have a hike. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see,
talk about our feelings.
And then we think, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why don't you interact with the group?
So, okay, so this is a great point. I have a friend of mine. He's a five. He's married to a seven. And we'll talk about sevens in a minute.
Wow.
They're very different, right? And so for the longest time, she wants to be the first at the party and the last to leave.
Yep.
Right? That's just who she is.
My son, Garrett's a seven. Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So he's a five. And so he wants to arrive at the party quietly without a lot of fanfare. Right?
Slip in.
And maybe leave an hour and a half in because, you know, fives don't like small talk. They don't – they can be a little awkward socially. They don't quite know what to do with themselves a little bit. I mean, they're sweet, amazing people. Like – and great leaders. Bill Gates, for example, is a five.
Wow.
So, you know, we don't want to sort of stereotype them as like, you know, your physics teacher with a pencil protector in his top pocket, you know, that, you know, is awkward. But what they did, this couple, is after learning the Enneagram, they had so much conflict, you know, about their different ways of seeing the world. And they just said, let's just take two cars. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
And it was like, just take two cars.
So he leaves early.
He'll look at his watch at 8:30 and go, baby, I'll see you when you get home. And she's like, great, I'll see you at 11:30 because I want to stay and talk. And so, again, you know, once you know this material.
There's nothing wrong. These are nine normals. That's
nine
what helps
normals.
Me. These are nine normals.
Totally.
He's normal.
And in the business world, I always tell, for example, I had a CEO describe his CFO as a five. And he said, I don't get it. He always leaves, you know, like the Christmas party, he leaves early. He does, you know, I just and took it personally. I was like, don't take this personally, man. This guy, it has nothing to do with you. He just ran out of gas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he probably even stayed late for him.
Yes.
He felt like he was giving you more.
Yes.
Because he stayed another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you know that, your heart warms toward people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, no, it's great.
And you need that in the workplace, and you need it as a leader. People need to be seen and understood.
Yeah. So my brother is a 7, and he is just like what you were talking about. He is the first one there, last one to leave, has so much energy. It's wild. So how would you lead that 7 with that energy, but the unfocused energy sometimes.
Easily distracted.
Easily distracted,
yeah.
Fun. Just
but knows
seeking,
everybody.
Knows every person.
Networker.
Oh,
can
yeah.
sell anything to anybody.
Positive.
Yeah.
In fact, I've watched Garrett grow up, so many times I've told Sandra, my wife, I wish I had more of that.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
So how do you lead a 7?
Well, you got to give him a long leash. You really do.
Let them frolic a little bit.
Well, no, because here's the thing. They need a long leash. They need multifaceted job descriptions. You don't want to have them do the same thing over and over again. Because, I mean, seriously, the commitment is tough. You know, long-term commitment to one process or one project for – so they need to keep moving from one thing to the next. They're serial entrepreneurs. They're amazing entrepreneurs.
Yep.
So you need to help them stay on track. Tap into that visionary part of them, because I'm telling you, get a whiteboard in front of a 7, they see patterns and connect the dots between complex bodies of knowledge like nobody.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they'll just see things. And because they're so enthusiastic, it's contagious. So they can lead the charge on stuff and people will follow them anywhere, right?
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Wow.
So, Ian, last time we were together, you said in the overall population, the 6 is the most predominant personality type.
Well, yeah.
So in most of our organizations, we're definitely going to have some 6s. We may have mostly 6s, depending on the nature of what we do.
Yeah.
So talk about the 6. Mm. How do we lead the 6?
I love 6s. Yeah. 6s are called the loyalists. These are earthy, practical, loyal, right, as the name would denote, people. And these folks are our worst-case scenario thinkers. They have an unconscious need to feel safe and secure in the world. I like to describe 6s as people who have pre-traumatic stress disorder. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
They're always scanning the horizon looking for what could go wrong, mm-hmm. right? So I just tell people, like, for example, in organizations with 6s, number one, don't ignore 6s when they point out flaws in a plan. See, because... Mm. Here's the deal. 6s can sometimes be pegged as wet blankets because every time you present a new idea, like the 7 we were just talking about,
right.
Oh, all this enthusiasm, I'm so excited about doing this.
6 goes to the worst case scenario.
Exactly. Or, yeah. Right. They'll go, well, you know.
They're Eeyore a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, we ought to wait until the third quarter when the cash flow situation's a little bit better because, you know, this recession might be coming or something and we should be.
Yeah.
And it just deflates the room, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, with a 6, when I coach a 6, I say, eliminate the word but from your from every sentence. You should say, that's a great idea. Not but we should do this. And let's consider waiting until the third quarter.
Huh.
But just remove the word but from the sentence because it just is a little tweak that just doesn't deflate the room, the dreamers in the room, right? But you better have a 6 somewhere in your organization that is taking care of sort of the risk management side.
Hmm.
Somebody who's thinking about, who can tap your brakes, especially if you got an 8 leader, a challenger, or a 7 enthusiast, or a 3 performer. These are hard-driving people who will sometimes drive off a cliff because they're not counting the cost.
Yep.
You need a 6 in the room who's kind of going, whoa, 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 whoa. Maybe we ought to just put, you know, give a little bit more time to think through the consequences.
And that's how they see the world, and that's normal, and they're not negative.
Right.
That's their normal.
Hmm.
Right, and leverage it.
Yep.
That's their superpower. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so leverage that, but they also need to be coached as to when they're operating without self-awareness and it's just leaking all over the place. All that anxiety is coming out in a way that's just not helpful, you know?
Yeah.
I have, in our organizational structure in the past, it's been a few years, I sat down with someone. I didn't have these numbers, but that was kind of their MO.
Right.
And I told this person, I said, I need you to wait. You're probably right, and we need to hear what you have to say. But don't speak so soon. Let us have a little bit more wow before we get to how. And let us enjoy a little bit more wow before. I mean, these are questions. We need the details. We need the questions.
Right.
We need the hard questions. We need to make sure, you know, we're not in la-la land. But if you bring that too soon, You can deplete the energy of the room. Right. And depending on the authority they carry in the organization, I mean, if they carry a lot of power in the organization, they can kind of howl all the best ideas right out of the organization.
That's right.
Because early on, there is no answer to the question, how.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
so
right.
You need them, but they're again, it's just the sequence sometimes, the timing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and that's part of self-awareness, right, is realizing, I got to wait.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is where I'm going to go.
Yep.
I go there immediately. Let's let the other eight their say
Before
I start tapping on the brakes.
Hey, man, can I just tell you a funny story about sixes that's illustrative? So there was a study done by some anthropologists a number of years ago in the wild, and they decided, just for the sake of an experiment, to remove chimps in a sort of a big pot, I don't know what you call them, a big family of chimps, to remove all the chimps who exhibited signs of anxiety. So they took out three or four. All the worriers. They took out all the worriers. Now, what do you think happened when they came back a year later? All the other chimps were dead.
They were gone.
They were gone.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you can tell what happened, right?
Yeah.
You better have, I call them the sentinels. You better have someone at all four corners of the camp who say, well, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Was that a lion?
What was
you
that?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think we should go there. Don't eat that.
Yeah,
don't
otherwise the three sevens and the eights are all partying and running around having a great time. But there's no one yelling lion.
So stepping back, there are nine normals. We need all nine. We need them in our lives. We need them in organizations. I guess ideally it'd be great to have each one around the table when we're making big decisions. Mm-hmm. And each of these personality types has a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
So real quick, as we wrap this up, what are the superpowers? Because I think it's gaining appreciation for the differences that encourages us to lean in and to embrace this and to never, ever make the mistake of resisting it.
Right. Hmm. Okay, so I think for ones, the perfectionist is like the ability to improve anything.
Make
anything better.
Yeah.
I would also say, just to add on to that, is I think you guys make the best mentors on the Enneagram.
Wow.
Best mentors. Okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Now I know what I need to do.
Yeah. You're great. Twos are the helpers. I think the emotional attunement, their ability to see the needs of other people and meet them. And when they're healthy, that's fantastic. Three is productivity. They get it done. They get it done fast, you know. And they love to win. They get the ball all the way downfield fast, and they get the job done in a huge, huge way. Fours. I think fours have this remarkable ability to say clearly what other people feel vaguely through
through
their aesthetic sensibilities, and they touch and move people with just a very unique vision.
We love
of the
their
world.
Movies and their music.
You sure do. You sure do. So fives, the powers of observation are stunning. They pick up everything. And I would tell you also, they're the most objective people on the Enneagram. So if you have a decision you got to make, so I'm a feeling-based person. Mm-hmm. If I get lost in feelings around a decision, I pick up my phone, I call my friend Chris, and I say, here are the facts. What do you think I should do?
Yep. Mm.
I get a very calculated.
Linear.
Yeah. Yep. So I just know where to go. Right?
Wow.
I don't call another four, okay, because that's just gonna lead to a lot of tears. You know what I'm talking about? All right, for sixes, I think their best deal is that they can spot what could go wrong. Right? So we need those people in our lives, right? What could go wrong, people?
The eventualities, yeah.
Right, totally. Sevens, man, well, first of all, they just bring the joy juice to every table. You know what I mean? Like they bring the light to every situation.
Yes, they do.
But they're visionaries. And their ability to really take complex information, to synthesize it, connect the dots, and come up with something that nobody had thought about is extraordinary. Steve Jobs being an example, right? Eights, I mean, they just bring the power of the big decision. I mean, and they have more energy than any other number on the Enneagram. So they just bring this tidal wave of force. And I will also say that they're bold and they care deeply about justice and fairness.
Mm-hmm.
So I could just give you so many superpowers for each one. Lastly, the nines, though. These are people who obviously bring a sense of peace and harmony to organizations, but they are superpowers. They can see the world through the lens of every other type.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, they just have that's how they're
empathetic.
Yes. But, but they see the value in all perspectives. And that's how they can get people to the table and create deals, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they're peacemakers. That's why they can get everybody to the table and find the middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Wow.
Well, Ian, Allie, that is all the time we have for today. This has been such a fascinating two-part conversation. And again, if you missed part one, I don't even have to tell you to go back and listen to part one because I know that you will. So there are two action items. First, you need to get the book, The Road Back to You. It's an extraordinary book. It'll give you the big picture and it will give you the details. And especially as you think about family and personal relationships, but certainly organizational relationships, that's a big first start. But in terms of taking the assessment, Ian, what is the best way for our audience to find the assessment and take the assessment to discover their number and then maybe use this within the context of their organization? Where do they go?
Sure. So they can go to ianmorgancron.com/assessment to take the IEQ 9 Enneagram assessment.
The IEQ 9 Enneagram assessment. That's right. What they're looking for.
Yep. And it's for individuals as well as for teams. I do believe it. I mean, honestly, we really work very hard. I think it's the most accurate and comprehensive Enneagram assessment and report that's available.
That's fantastic. Well, Ian, thanks for making the trip all the way from Nashville to be with us. And Allie, thanks for walking across the street be with us today. And to all of our listeners, thanks so much for joining us. And again, make sure you check out Ian's book, The Road Back to You. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And don't forget to visit andystanley.com, where you can download the Leadership Podcast application guide for today's discussion. And you'll find Ian's recommendation on how to lead each Enneagram type. It's an extraordinary tool that you can download for free. And as always, thanks for joining us, and we will look forward to seeing you next month.